Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country as BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre call us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back. National Talk Black. Have your saying, yarn up strong. Your mob too deadly. Now, a new study to improve access to culturally safe, best quality care for rheumatic heart disease, that's RHD, in high burden Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities is underway after Medical Research Future Fund, MRFF, Cardiovascular Health Mission Grant application was successful, securing $999,764 for a 3-year project. Money is the tool. Great to have that tool at the table. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Professor Josh Francis and Jade Neave on the line and talk about this space, training remote health workers to diagnose rheumatic heart disease. Professor Josh, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Trevor. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much. I believe you have a bodyguard there as well. Jade Neave, is that right?
Yeah. Hi. How are you?
I'm well, Jade. How are you going?
Good, thank you.
Good, thank you very much. And so, look, money is a tool, and now we have $999,764 for a 3-year project. Look, a good investment in regarding RHD, yes?
Yeah, for sure. I'm on Larrakia country at the moment, and okay. I want to acknowledge the traditional owners here. I'm thank really you. Lucky to live and work in this place in the Northern Territory, and not just here on Larrakia country, but we've been working with communities across the top end of the Northern Territory, especially on this problem of rheumatic heart disease. And we've learned a fair bit from communities about the importance of working with communities and particularly with local health workers to improve detection of rheumatic heart disease and help get people onto treatment early. And so we've really wanted to be able to look at ways of being able to implement some of those strategies in other communities to be able to train health workers to do the diagnostic test with a machine called an echo machine to detect rheumatic heart disease. And so to get this funding from the MRFF gives us a really good opportunity to do some of that work with other communities, but also in doing that, hopefully to be able to evaluate it in a really good way to understand the kinds of things that can make it work and hopefully to be able to demonstrate a model that can be expanded to other communities as well in the future.
Professor Josh, you're talking about working and supporting health workers. Are we talking First Nation health workers? As we know, nothing beats black on black. So great to have that opportunity. Is that available? Yes.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think one of the things that we've tried to look at with, especially with this echo test for rheumatic heart disease, in the past it always used to just be cardiologists and specialists, cardiac sonographers who could do it. But we've done a couple of research studies here in the Northern Territory, also in Timor-Leste, where we do some work. Mm-hmm. And we've shown that you can train local community workers to be able to do a really simple test using an echo machine to detect rheumatic heart disease. And they can do that, especially if they've got remote support, so a cardiologist or somebody, some other expert, looking at the images off-site to be able to check them. And that it's possible to put that technology in the hands of local health workers. And so, yeah, being able to train First Nations health workers in remote communities is a really big part of the aim of this project.
Fantastic. Let's bring Sister Jade Neave into the conversation. Jade, your position, title that you hold in this space?
Yes, I'm a research assistant as part of the project. Yeah, so a big part of my role will be going into the communities, working on the ground with potential participants and getting their consent.
And you're First Nation? You're a First Nation woman?
Yeah, I am.
And who your mob where you come from, sister?
Jingali people in the Northern Territory.
Lovely. And how long you been working in this space, Dar?
About 4 weeks now.
Oh, four weeks? New kid on the block. Still got your training wheels on.
Yeah, I do.
Look, fantastic.
And a huge amount of experience, but from working in health up here in the NT.
Yeah, fantastic.
I've been an Aboriginal health practitioner for 20 years and recently just graduated as a registered nurse.
So forget the 4 weeks in training. Hello, 20 years, there it is. You just, I say, a different vehicle you're driving, that's all.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Look, this is so great. Good news. And Professor, let's talk about RHD, rheumatic heart disease. It is a problem, and First Nation children, are they more common with this disease, and what do we need to do?
Yeah, it's a massive problem, actually, and it's a problem that tends to start in childhood, and it comes after just pretty basic infections, skin infections, throat infections with a germ called group A strep or the strep A germ. Mm-hmm. And that infection passes around really easily. Like, you see kids will get sores on their skin or will come down with a sore throat. And if that strep infection doesn't get treated with antibiotics, then it's possible for the body to kind of react to the infection and to cause a problem called rheumatic fever, which sometimes gives you sore joints or fever or just makes you feel a bit unwell. But the bad part of it is that it can also affect the valves of the heart and can cause even permanent damage to the valves of the heart, this thing we call rheumatic heart disease. And there are a couple of things that we can do to stop that. Like, mm-hmm. it's the sort of thing that should be preventable. And part of that is trying to stop getting the infections in the first place,
yes.
making sure that when there are infections, they get treated with antibiotics. And so helping health clinics to be able to recognise and treat infections early is really important. But the other part of it that we're really passionate about is just finding these kids when they've got rheumatic heart disease and finding them early, because if you end up with really severe rheumatic heart disease, it can cause heart failure, it can cause people to die when they're young, and some kids end up needing cardiac surgery, like even multiple episodes of heart surgery. But if you find it early, then you can get people onto antibiotics, regular once a month penicillin injections that stop the rheumatic heart disease from progressing. And so this work that we're doing is really about helping local health workers recognise the signs of rheumatic fever and rheumatic heart disease, pick it up early, including using the echo machines to do an ultrasound of the heart.
Sure.
So that you find it when it's mild and you get kids onto treatment without them heading down that road towards heart failure and heart surgery.
So you talk about the initial sores, so to speak. Is that contagious?
Yeah, it can be. And so it's the sort of thing that happens where you've got some bugs on your skin, you get a bit itchy, maybe from some scabies, or just you cut yourself when you fall off your bike or something, and you can scratch that infection in under your skin and cause a sore. But if you've got lots of kids that are spending lots of time around each other, it's really possible for them to pass that germ on to each other as well. So you do tend to see it spread around communities a bit.
So we're talking about, if you look at it, mainly in cities and towns, the fundamentals of washing your hands, bathing, twice a day, clean your hands before dinner, that sort of stuff. You've got a sores, bandage on it. That has to be like fundamentals in regards to remote communities, yeah?
Yeah, it really is. And we've seen some really excellent work on that front. Like, I've been really lucky over the last 9 years or so to spend a bit of time on Gunnabidji country in Manangrita with the traditional owners and others there, and have worked together and learnt a lot from people on the ground there around how to get some of these messages out. And so in a place that actually has one of the highest documented rates of rheumatic heart disease in the world, you see a real shift in trajectory where the community is taking ownership of the problem and looking to implement local solutions. And part of that is around getting health workers trained to be able to recognise rheumatic heart disease and things, but also just really amazing work led by some of the TOs there to talk about some of these issues around washing hands, around basic hygiene, addressing sores quickly, and communicating those messages in local languages, particularly in the school environment, has been really powerful.
Fantastic. Question there with Sister Jade. Would you be part of the employment side of things and regarding First Nation people coming to the table and health workers and training them up?
Yeah, definitely. Good. I will be part of that, yeah. So a big focus on that. We will be doing a lot of community consultation.
Mm-hmm.
So getting advice from local people on how we go about implementing the project into their specific community.
Yes. And we're talking male and females, Sister?
Yeah,
good.
Male and female.
Great. So there could be a fantastic opportunity for a job, if not employment. We're talking also a career pathway for our mob working on community in this space, yes?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Fantastic. And then they can do 20 years as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Jade, nice talking with your sister. And Professor Josh Francis, thank you so very much. Very important role. Congratulations in, and securing the funds for from MRFF and also for the RHD. Fantastic. Good luck with it all. Please do keep in touch. And big shout out to the mob there up there in NT.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thank
great
you.
Show to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. Beautiful yarn there, Professor Josh Francis and health worker Jade Neve, a sister there working with Professor Josh Francis in regard to the RHD, study to improve access to culturally safe, best quality care for rheumatic heart disease. And they've just received funding from MRFF, that's the Medical Research Future Fund, $999,000, $764, that is, for a three-year project. And we're talking about employment for First Nation people on country to help working in the becoming health workers and working in the space regarding closing that gap regarding RHD. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
closer I get to you. The more you make me see.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
You're damn, damn bad, you. I am.
Yeah, too deadly that track. That's Ernabella, Wild Brumbies here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yarn Up Strong, otherwise text a brother, 0457140550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Let's look at the top stories in the news today. Information Commissioner launches investigation into Optus. The advertiser states here, chaos, then calm as passengers evacuated from Adelaide Airport. Other stories here, Aussies prepared to quit hideous six-figure jobs. Also, Herald Sun, Bali police raids uncovered new terror honeypot. Also, why building more homes isn't the simple solution to the rental crunch may think it is. Nearly a fifth of Australia's COVID vaccine and stocked amid warning of fresh waves of cases. Michael J. Fox's appearance has fans in tears. Other stories here, frustrating details on Coles customer grocery bill sparks heated debate. Why the Bridget blast really matters, losing Crimea could finish Putin off. Electric utes are finally here. They're about to dominate new car sales, report predicts. So they're the headlines for today's news. I'd love to know what headlines are happening in your area with your mob. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn to the, have your conversation. Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Wow. G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now at 1-800-422-416.
There's a highway that leads to glory. Sweet Jesus, take my hand. So far away. So far away. You pulled me out from my reclaim. Let me stand on this rock. Sweet Jesus, take my hand. So far away. So far away from this world. So far away. So far away from this world. So far away from you. Far away. So far away from you. Far away.
Yeah, lovely track there, Far Away. That's our Sunshine Reggae Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say you mob, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. 1 hour program, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country, BBM Bumba Brip Media, 90.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. So a big shout out to all the First Nation radio stations across the Delhi country of ours, Delhi Black Network. We have all our yarns, play our Delhi music, and like I said, a tool, a voice for our people, a vehicle we use. So do utilise it and add to the conversation. All our brothers and sisters and non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well, all ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Let's talk rugby league. Kangaroos ace Latrell Mitchell reveals a World Cup backflip quandary after making a backflip on Rugby League World Cup, explaining the rollercoaster season had him considering whether to spend time at his farm instead. Mitchell is a member of the 24-man Australian squad set to begin its World Cup campaign in England on Sunday morning. He said he was just thinking about the kids and just going back to my farm. To be honest, Mitchell told Nine News, it was a long year. I've had a pretty up and down roller coaster of a season. I was sort of contemplating, but Big Mal, Kangaroos coach Mal Meninga, gave me a call and I just knew that it was something I wanted to be part of. It was definitely hard getting on the plane and cruising because I like staying on the land. Mitchell and great mate Josh Adokar among the senior crop of Kangaroos, with Meninga blooding 13 debutants for the first World Cup since 2017. Youngest of uncapped Kangaroos is 19-year-old Cowboys back row Jeremy Nanai. I sort of pinched myself a little bit because I was 19-year-old kid asking the older fellas playing, Mitchell said. It's freaky, Adokar added in the Nine News interview. Australia will play its first World Cup match against Fiji at Headingley Stadium in Leeds. So fantastic. Good to see those brothers linking up and playing the deadly game, the greatest game of all, rugby league, with the World Cup happening starting this Sunday. And big shout out to all our First Nation sport athletes and the work that they're doing. Also, big shout out to the Cairns Taipans. Went to their first home game there last night. Unfortunately, went down to the Wildcats, and very sad, but and also no very different to see no big Nathan Jowai no longer contracted with the Cairns Taipans. I believe he's up in Northern Territory playing in a local comp up there. So big shout out to Nate Jowai. Big shout out, thank you, my brother, and also Timmy Duggins, who operates from up that way as well, and doing fantastic work with the Hoops for Health, using basketball as a tool and looking after, supporting our young ones in regard to healthy thinking, healthy mind, healthy body. Fantastic. Have you seen Jan Armstrong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day. Yes, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, a new R-Plate initiative launches to help increase driver confidence following road accidents. New research shows the majority, 73% of Aussies, have been affected by a road incident in some way. One in five Australians continue to face feelings of vulnerability when returning to the driver's seat following the hiatus of the road. The launch of Return Plates, R-Plates, is an initiative designed to support drivers returning to the road after trauma or significant break from driving. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Jason Thompson, Associate Professor at the University of Melbourne. Dr. Jason, thank you very much for coming to the program.
Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Let me start by asking, can you tell us more about the R-Plate initiative?
The R-Plate initiative, and the R in R-Plate stands for Return Plate, is an Australian first physical plate which has been launched by MyCar Tyre and Auto. And it's really designed to both recognise and support drivers who might be returning to the road after having experienced a trauma or perhaps a significant break from driving. And the initiative is really helping to highlight the importance of all of us supporting those who are recovering both physically and psychologically from road trauma, and to help Australians get back behind the wheel with a little bit more confidence.
Thank you. Why is it important to recognise when someone is recovering from a road incident?
It's really important for all of us to recognise when someone's recovering from a road incident, because often it's more than just the physical impact of the road incident. Often it's the psychological impact. And you might have been involved in a crash, you might have witnessed one. Acknowledging some of those anxieties, some of those feelings, we think that this could really help Australians regain their confidence in getting back on the road. So the idea of the R plate is that it aims to encourage a bit of understanding and empathy from other road users. And the idea is that drivers might feel a little less pressure on the road and give them a bit more time and space to recover.
How can trauma from a road incident impact a person's driving and confidence on the road?
Trauma from a road incident can really impact a person's driving and confidence on the road. The vast majority of people will get there. They will overcome these things. But the journey through to recovery, a return to confidence, can be unique for each individual, and it can take some time, and it can be especially difficult for people who weren't at fault in their incident, regardless of their level of injury.
What advice do you have for those who are worried about returning to driving after an incident?
The advice that I would have for people who are worried about returning to driving after an incident is that you will get there. For many of us, returning to the road can be quite a scary, perhaps a nerve-wracking experience, but most people do get there with the support of family and friends. Despite being a nation of fairly confident drivers, about 9 out of 10 people say that they're a pretty confident driver, the research shows that almost half of Australians have lost confidence with their driving at some point. And again, this shows that road trauma and road incidents are an all too common occurrence in Australia, and they do affect almost everyone at some point in their lives.
Where can Australians go to find out more about this?
If Australians want to find out more about the R Plates initiative, you can access help and order your own R plate to put on your vehicle by going to the MyCar website, which is mycar.com.au/R plates. And while you're there, you can also pledge your support for the initiative on the MyCar website.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Deadly Yarn there with Dr. Jason Thompson, Associate Professor at the University of Melbourne, and talking about the new R plate initiative launches and to help increase driver confidence following road incidents. To Deadly, have you seen Yana Strong? 1-800-422-416.
Special just for you and me. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
I've been droving, I've been drinking, I've been Christian, I've been everything. But there's one more thing I gotta tell you before I go. Here I live in this tin shack, nothing here worth coming back. To drunken fights, awful sight.
Yeah, brand new day. Knuckles Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. We've got someone on the line. Good morning, brother.
Oh, good morning, brother. I'll take your mutt up and laugh. I'll get a dry yarn off first, brother. Mm. I think Anna Murray, regular caller from Sherwood, and Yaraba Bob always getting the program, and Eileen sometimes ring up from a frail. Mm. And because of the censorship, sort of, the didgeridoo come on a few times last week, and you know, like, especially with the swear words, and I was thinking that's material there for Stephen Oliver and Sean Children. And say, for instance, if they'll tailor that their comedy to that suits that community to, I reckon. Yeah. And if they went to Yaraba, I reckon Brother Barry Cedric and Uncle could have the front seat. And my take on it was when I said material, Stephen Oliver play you.
Yeah, knock off, true that.
And Shawnee Chulva is just ringing in. And hello, Stephen Oliver. It's me, Trevor Tim, the bally one. And who are you? This is in relation to the censorship and all the stuff at the back last week, brother. And Shawnee rings up. And you got to be careful. Do what you say. But do it on the community. It's this comedy skit. And Shawnee rings up and says, it's me, Gordon. And you ask, Gordon, who? And he says, Gordon Ramsay. And of course, and I reckon they love that on the communities, you know, especially the people that regularly pick up the show. Brother, for a while now, since you've been talking about dementia, but what pisses me off about dementia is the people that exploit it, the families, the siblings that exploit the old people, the pensioners, when they get their key card and rip some off. That's
elder abuse. Elder abuse.
And on the other one, brother, like a lot of us, we go to the NAIDOC, Old Blacks Carnival, and Laurel Festival, and a lot of black fellas there. And not necessarily because they're black fellas, we go and talk to them, or they come and talk to us, or we're too precious that, you know, they should all come talk to us. Brother, when I first went to that, there was a conference on that $3 million hospital at Cash Arena before it actually opened. Mm. They just built it. And I went there, and I was the only black fellow there. And some of the people, I think it's sort of fitting with your positive thinking. and when we get sober, like people say, alcohol is a social lubricant, you know, you could talk to people. But now you're like a fish out of water and you learn all these little skills. Mm. And I went to the conference and everybody had their name tag and my organization they were from. And I saw this one fellow, and they said in the rehab, in the journey into sobriety, they said, well, see, if you feel out of place, try it and make somebody else in place. So I've done that, and I sort of fit the bloke out the lines, like when I'm looking for a dry yarn for a wet week, when I'm on a blood grog off somebody in the pub, and I only got one for an entry fee, what they call entry fee, just you get one beer to go in, and you look around the bar, and you wait for somebody to buy, and of course you spend a dry, spin a dry yarn. Mm. So, and when people say, I'm a bit of a knockabout, black fellow, I used to hitchhike and mix with other people, and you learn to have a conversation. You know, I might talk about the weather or some bullshit thing. But anyway, this fellow at the hospital, catch me in the hospital, I fed him lines, brother. So I ran out of stuff to say. And yeah, I said to him, I said, yeah, mate, I said, who are you? What's your name? He said, I'm so-and-so. I'm the chief inspector of police. And, you know, brother, and I was thinking, no, one of them other white fellows don't talk to him. And what this I'm telling this story for is, you know, for so long we hear on the program about men and violence, especially black men and violence, but I never hear of women coming on and talk about recovery. And, you know, brother, I went to AA for sobriety, but I have partners that were drinkers, and I used Al-Anon. And a lot of black fellows, they think, oh, they're racist. I won't go to those meetings because they won't talk to you, the white fellows. Mm. When I went to a lot of them, brother, even if white fellows don't want to talk to you or black fellows don't want to talk to you, you're not so special that everybody should come up and talk to you. And I learned to, when I went to those white fellows self-help group, a lot of white fellows don't talk to other white fellows too, brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I learned that. So what I'm talking about is Al-Anon is, you know, like I said, I don't hear any recovery stories from people or partners of a victim of violence or from alcohol. But because I went to Al-Anon, I share some things that I've learned from Al-Anon, and maybe gamblers, like the partners of gamblers, they learn some things. But what I've learned, and one of the things is, like the obsession for the drinker or the gambler, so can be the spouse's, the obsession to be a rescuer. And, you know, you hear so much about the bad, especially the male. Well, they're not going to stop if you keep bloody enabling your brother. Mm. And you get bullied in there too, you know. And it's good to have a self-help group like your own a mob. And I think I'm a partner already with me at the time, but then she did leave me. And she did this after being 8 months apart. And she said to me, brother, she said, if we can continue living together, we both have to grow together.
Yes.
See, and a lot of partners, some of them say women, they think the only one that needs to fix himself up is the bloke. Mm. And the victims, like, I talk about my mum, for instance, brother, we got into arguments when I got sober, but the arguments wasn't you know, about drinking or not. And I thought she done too much for me when I was sober. And I said, Mum, you could make me into an emotional cripple. And there are partners of people that are addicted, gambling, other words. They want love, and they want to be wanted and needed and loved. Mm. And the only way they got it was when their spouses that are addicted depended on them. And that spouse, whether the addicted person, they get sober, they get well, and they feel betrayed. They don't feel they're wanted or loved anymore. Mm. So it's like flood, brother, like after the flood or cyclone. And there are people that say, oh, it's not good the wind stop blowing or the floods stop without seeing that there's a lot of repair, there's a lot of damage, there's a lot of amendments, you know, and relationship I can refine. So, brother, what I'm saying is they are not just the people that are addicted, whether it's gambling or the drinker. And there was Al-Anon too program. And why I talk about Al-Anon and Al-Anon? Because black fellows seem to think, oh, them white fellows won't talk to you. Oh, that's for white fella. And that's why I was just talking about like all blacks and all the stuff. When you go to all blacks, all the black fellows from think, all the black fellows don't have to talk to you. And, you know, just like a lot of self-help group, what I'm saying, but not all of them are going to go to the government to get funding because there's a lot of self-help group, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
No, thank you. Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. That's our someone there expressing himself here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Come the time, but Trinity Trev signs off for today's program. Back in the hots again tomorrow. That deadly.